afternoon. Certainly appreciate that. What's going on before us? Very much enjoyed the song service. Appreciate the manner of truth in which Brother Philip presented the Word of God. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like to start off in 1 Samuel. Please be praying for us. Please be praying for us that the lambs will be fed, that the sheep will be fed. You know, that's the mark of a true minister who loves the Lord, is if he desires to feed the lambs of God.
Yeah,
right. If he desires to feed the sheep of God. You know, I can't help but be transparent. I think that's part of my gift. Also, it's part of my, if you let it go too far, it can be a hindrance as well. But, you know, there's been times, a time or two, where somebody has told me the way I presented the truth, they agreed with everything I said, but I offended somebody with it. And that's not my desire. My desire is not to offend any child of God with the truth. I'm going to tell you, the Lord tells us over in John chapter 8, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Yes. Brothers and sisters, a lot of us have been raised up as old Baptists. We have no idea what he's talking about. And what I mean by that is some of us have never been under that bondage. And we've been raised up to just be free. And we don't understand the bondage of going to bed at night thinking that you're going to go to hell because you just didn't do it right. You don't understand the bondage of trying to get the sin off of you and you never feel like it came off of you because you realize that you just can't do it. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I want every child of God to be free. Brothers and sisters, I can't stand little cars. You know why? I just can't get free. I mean, you put me in a two-seater, I'm just like, ugh. Oh, me and Lydia, for a year and a half, we lived in a one-room place in two different places. And it was just me and her living with different families, just trusting in the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, we did not feel free. We just felt claustrophobic. I don't want you in your spirituality to feel in bondage.
Amen.
If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Brothers and sisters, for you to continue in the word, you got to want to know the truth. You got to realize the truth means something.
Yeah.
It does. One of my favorite verses as of late has been Psalms 27 and 14. And I can't quote it, even though it's one of my favorite verses. But let me go there real quick. I tell you, I'm over 40 now. My rememberer has gone. But look what it says here, because this is really big to me. It's actually 27 and 13. It says, I had fainted, meaning I would have gave up. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of God, the goodness of the Lord and the land of the living. What I want you to understand what he's saying there, I would have given up if I hadn't believed that I was going to see the goodness of the Lord. What he's saying is, if I didn't believe that the Lord was going to bless me in my patience, I would have gave up. Versus, I want you to believe. If you don't believe that you seek first the kingdom and all that other junk's going to be added to us, you're not going to seek first the kingdom.
Right.
If you don't believe that the truth will make you free, you're not going to seek the truth. Amen? I want you to believe that the truth will make you free. I want you to believe that seeking the truth and how we worship and how we believe and how we live and how we raise and how we die, I'm going to tell you that makes you
free.
Yeah.
But if you don't believe it, you ain't going to seek it.
That's true.
He says, if ye continue in my word. How do you get it? Continue in his word. Brothers and sisters, one of my problems is I get distracted by everything. I got spiritual ADD. I work in a pediatric clinic. We deal with about an ADHD. I just got the D's. I ain't got the hyper. I just got the D's. Just, I want to tell you, you can put a Bible in my hand, and the Lord tell me you need to read this, and I'm going after it. And if that phone's over there, somebody better hide it. But brothers, how many times have you said, I'm gonna look and see what my Father has for me, and you start reading, and you just feel better. You may not even understand 5% of what you're putting in your head, but you just feel better. You know why? Because you are continuing in His Word. It doesn't say continue in my Word and understand every word. It just says continue. Guess what? One day you'll get there where it's 6% you understand. Because the Bible says line upon line, right? Here a little, there a little. Right? And then you know what? Pretty soon, you'll have 9%. And then by the time you're 72, you'll have 13.5%. And you'll have 2. You know? But brothers and sisters, I want you to believe that the truth is the right way. Brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that this, what we're doing right now, acapella singing, preaching, praying, nothing else, is not a preference, it's the truth.
Right.
Yeah. And there's a free, I guess, you know what also frees you up? From a bunch of carnal stuff in this world. I'm going to tell you what, the Sunday school teacher and the choir director in the Old Baptist Church ain't never going to get in a fight. You get that?
Yeah.
The other folks ain't ever been here long enough. You'll get it later, okay? Sunday school teacher and the piano player will never get into a fight. Because they don't exist. The simplicity, which is in Christ. Brothers and sisters, I've seen it so many times. When people just think it's no big deal, you add a little bit in it, it corrupts everything. You know why? Because you got away from the truth. Brothers and sisters, I want to be free. The Lord tells that dear sister in John 4, they that worship me must worship. How? In spirit and in truth. And I don't say that to convict people. I just want the Pentecostals and the Primitive Baptists and the Southern Baptists and Missionary Baptists and whatever else you got out there. I want us to all understand we should be pursuing the truth.
Right.
We should not be pursuing to defend our articles of faith. I'm going to tell you, our articles of faith should be based upon the truth.
Yes, sir. Amen.
We should be, brothers and sisters, we should be pursuing the truth. And if I believe this, and you believe the opposite, one of us does not have the truth.
Amen.
And the Lord says the ones who worship with the truth, they are the true worshipers.
Yeah.
I want everybody to understand, brothers and sisters, if you and the person you're dating, if y'all had two different belief systems, if you get in the wrong one, whenever you get married, you're not going to be free.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, we take dating and marriage way too lightly.
Yeah.
We take religion way too lightly.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, can you imagine as a primitive Baptist? Can you imagine as a primitive Baptist, one who does not, whenever you lay your head on your pillow at night, one who does not fear that you're going to go to hell because of something you forgot to profess, or something you forgot to confess, or something that you ain't made right with God yet. One who goes to sleep, I'm going to tell you what, and the grace of God laying your head on that gracious pillow, one that goes to sleep with a gracious sleep because you know that Jesus paid it all and all to Him I owe. Can you imagine your children watching them being raised up in bondage? Well, if you married somebody of another order and y'all haven't had that call, that very well could be what happens. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Brother Danny is not saying primitive Baptists only marry primitive Baptists. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord put emphasis on the truth. And I'm going to tell you, I just don't want to be free. I want my children to be free.
Yeah.
And if I know that I'm marrying somebody who is not a primitive Baptist, I am going to make sure that they understand our children are going to be raised up in the primitive Baptist church. Because I'm not going to raise them up in error, in bondage, and in falsehood. I can't make my wife join the church. I can't make her believe something. But I'm going to tell you what, I can raise my children up in the truth. And why isn't that being preached behind the pulpits anymore? Same reason all the other stuff ain't. Brothers, this is because we've been corrupted. There's too many ikes amongst us. I'm not talking about other religions. But I'm just talking about sin. And we let it prevail. And if somebody says something that steps on our toes, it ain't our sin that needs to repent. It's that preacher. And don't invite him ever, ever again.
Hey, I love the truth. Brother says, I remember going to sleep at night thinking I was going to go to hell. I remember the weight of my sin weighing on me and trying to figure out how to get 22 years of sin off of me. I'm trying to figure out how I was going to live with a thrice holy God in heaven one day. And then I heard Brother Ricky Hargrove preach Ephesians 2:8. I said, that's it. It's the only hope I have.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, we're saved by grace. Unmerited favor. Isn't that beautiful? I'm going to tell you, and the only people that that's going to appeal to, people who are poor, weak, and worthless, who realize they don't have a hope without the free grace and free blood of Jesus Christ. Go me over to 1 Samuel chapter 2. I know I've kind of chased rabbits here. I do want to bring this one point out. Over in 1 Samuel chapter 2, I love this verse because this verse defends the truth. I don't remember the first time I read this verse. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. I don't remember the first time I read this verse, Brother Jeff. But I remember the first time this verse jumped out at me. And I was reading it. I'm one of these people, whenever I read the Word of God and something jumps out at me, I'll go, wow. I was preaching one time and I'd never seen something before. And I went, wow. And I said, let's reread that again. Okay, because this is the Word of God. This is God speaking to us. I'm going to tell you, things mean something in the Word of God. And the reason I love this verse so much, because this, brothers, this verse teaches exactly what you and I believe. Look what it says here in the 12th verse. Now the sons of Eli. Eli was the priest, was the judge of Israel at that day, and he was the top dog priest, if you'll let me put it like this. And his sons were priests. And I'm going to tell you, if you were a priest in the days of Eli, you knew everything there was to know about God. By the way, just give you this for free. Why was the ark made of gopher wood? Was it because Noah preferred gopher wood?
No.
Because that's what God said to make it out of.
Yeah, right.
Why do we sing to the Lord instead of play to the Lord? Because that's what God said.
Right.
Sing. I'm going to tell you, brothers, the way we worship God is not a preference, it's the truth. But here, Eli, being a priest and his sons being priests, they knew everything there was to know about God. They knew the dimensions of what the tabernacle were. They knew when to offer which sacrifice, when to do the doves, when to do the pigeons, when to do the lamb, when to do the goat, when to do the red heifer. They knew everything there was. I'm going to tell you, most all the things that I forget about the law, they had it memorized. And they knew their stuff about God.
But what I love about this verse, I want you to get in your head. People came to them and expecting these priests to help them worship. Priests, I know you know everything about God. This is how I'm supposed to pay my vow to God. I want you to understand, these priests knew everything there was to know about God, if anybody did. They were raised up learning the law, learning how to serve God. But look what the Bible says about these men. Now this will help you defend the truth if you want to defend it. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. That means they were wicked. They knew not the Lord. Brothers and sisters, it doesn't say they didn't know about the Lord. It said they knew not the Lord.
Amen.
You know what that just said? Primitive Baptists are right. I'm not preaching Primitive Baptists. But I'm going to tell you what. I get tired of our people putting us down so much. And other people putting us down. Sometimes I jump a little extreme on the other side, okay? And so I've actually heard people preach a 30-minute sermon. Well, a 40-minute sermon. And in the first 30 minutes, they run down the Primitive Baptist. And in the last 10 minutes, they tell us they wonder why we ain't getting nobody joining their church. You know, if I'm trying to get you to join the Rotary Club, I'm not going to tell you how bad it is for 30 minutes. Brothers,
amen.
There's sinners in the church of God. Thank God, because that means you can be here.
Right.
If it wasn't, you couldn't be here. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you, this defends our truth. This defends the truth of the Bible. This shows you that there is a difference between knowing about God and knowing God.
Yeah.
Y'all know what eternal life is? Eternal life is to know God and to know Jesus. Not to know about God, not to know about Jesus. John 17 tells me that eternal life is to know God and to know Jesus. And how do you do that? Your daddy don't teach you that. Your mama don't teach you that. Guess who teaches you that? God.
Amen.
He says, I will put. Not the Sunday school teacher, not Danny Wisner, not Jeff Cochran, not the old Baptist preacher, but I, God the Father, will put my laws in their hearts and write them into their minds, and I shall be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people.
Yes,
the Bible says the Spirit is sent into your heart doing what? Crying, Abba, Father. Have you ever said, God, I need help? You ever said, I'm just a kid. I'm just a child. I'm just a babe. And I can't do it. I need somebody with more authority. You know what you're doing? You are crying, Abba, Father. And I've never prayed unto somebody I didn't know.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? Brothers and sisters, if you've ever prayed to God, it's because you know God. I'm going to tell you, my job as a gospel minister is not to introduce people to Jesus. It's to tell them that feeling that they feel in their very bosom is their Savior. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Is there something down deep inside that just tells you that everything's going to be okay? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because let me tell you what glory is. It's more than okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, there's something deep down inside of every little child of God that's telling you, I don't care how deep it is and how callous your heart has been, but there's something deep, deep, deep down in there that tells you you expect heaven one day.
Yes, sir.
There's something better than this. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, brothers and sisters, I don't have one of those gifts where I can just, you know, go do and just tie it up in a bow. Brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that you know God. Do you believe in Jesus? You know why you believe in Jesus? Because you know Him. Because He's deep down in you.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, the Bible says this: he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born
yes, sir.
Of God.
Amen.
You know why you know it, brothers and sisters? God is in here. He's in you. The reason you know Him is because He's a part of you. He's in you. That's the reason it says in that verse where it says, if we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He can't deny Himself. He's in you. We're in Him. For Him to say that He doesn't know you, He would have to be denying Himself, because we are a part of Him and He's a part of us.
Yeah.
That's the reason that song we sing and I love so much. He'll not live in glory and leave me behind.
Right.
And I just feel from an intellectual standpoint, we got to go here and then I'll sit down. Go me over to Hebrews 8. First, Hebrews 8. For this is the covenant thou wilt make with the house of Israel. That's talking about spiritual Israel, by the way. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. Let's go back to that truth real quick.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, you know, and I understand if somebody's been raised up a certain way and they come into the church that I pastor for the first time and I'm preaching something totally opposite than what they've ever believed, and I'm actually saying that their doctrine questions the power of God, I can understand somebody maybe getting, you know, feeling some type of way. We'll just put it like that. Use modern day vernacular. But so many times I ride down the road and I get offended. I read church signs that says, turn or burn. Really? Does that sound like an everlasting love of God right there? You know, This road goes both ways. Do y'all not ever see church signs just make you mad?
Yeah.
You know what one of them is that I can't stand? Come in and we'll teach you to know the Lord. Are you God now? And I'm not saying that to be offensive. I just want you to see how we can write things on our church signs that are totally contradictory to what the Word of God says. Because
right.
The Word of God says, you will not teach every man their neighbor and every man their brother, saying, know the Lord. Right? For all shall know me. All the ones that I've taught. All the ones that I love. All the ones that are my people. Look what it says here. And I'm not making this a sermon about who offends who more, okay? But look what it says here. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. I'm going to tell you, I love the story. And look what it said. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. Who? The ones that has God's laws in their heart and in their minds. The ones that God put them there. And I will be merciful unto their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. I love the story of Helen Keller, who was blind, who was deaf, who could not communicate. And then when somebody was finally able to communicate with her, some preacher wanted to tell her about Jesus. And I love her response. I already knew Him. I just didn't know His name.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, that's what the gospel preacher does. He doesn't teach you to know God. He teaches you to know that His name is Jesus. I want to tell you, and even in this day and world, whenever we're amongst people who are in bondage through another gospel, which be not another, my desire is not to make them look foolish. My desire is that they would be saved from ignorance.
Yeah, right.
And that they wouldn't be tormented by if I didn't do it right or I got to get this done. And they wouldn't take away glory from God and their salvation. That they give all praise and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, there's a man named Cornelius. Never heard the name of Jesus. Wasn't a Jew. But he was praying to a God that he had never seen. You know why? Because he knew him.
Yeah, amen.
Acts chapter 16, there was a woman named Lydia who was a Gentile, lived in Philippi, who worshipped God with the only knowledge that she had never heard the name of Jesus, was not a Jew, but she was worshipping God with the only knowledge that she had. And I'm going to tell you, when Paul came and preached the gospel to her, the Lord opened her heart that she believed. And you know what? I've read commentaries that this day and age, Christians from back then would not understand why we wait 2 years to get baptized.
Yeah, right.
Lydia didn't wait 2 years.
No.
She said, I'm going to follow my Lord. Brother said, what does hinder you? I haven't sowed enough wild oats. Yeah, you have. Yeah, you have. Brothers and sisters, the Bible says that the church is the joy of the whole earth. Why aren't you a part of it? Do you got enough joy? I don't. I'm going to tell you, sometimes I want to join again. Brothers and sisters, what does hinder you? You believe that Jesus died for you? You believe that you're going to heaven? You believe that He loves you with an everlasting love? Oh, brothers and sisters, come on, the water's nice.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, and the food is good, and the people are lovely, and we're all just sinners trying to do better. I love you, and God bless you.